From the studios of WHQR Public Radio in Wilmington, this is Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. Wood pellets. They're a simple idea, but their potential implications are far more complicated and controversial. Member countries in the European Union are buying these small compressed cylinders, which are made up of everything from sawdust to wood pulp, to use as a more planet-friendly fuel source than coal. Eventually, some say increasing restrictions on allowable carbon emissions will force the discontinuance of wood pellets as a fuel source because they'll no longer meet government requirements. But right now, European subsidies are fueling an important emerging market in the Southeast, and particularly North Carolina. But environmental advocacy groups such as the Natural Resources Defense Council, the Southern Environmental Law Center, and North Carolina-based Dogwood Alliance all say that the use of wood pellets for fuel not only decimates forests, it actually produces higher carbon emissions than fossil fuels. Today, we'll explore some of these claims, and we'll also find out what kind of economic impact the wood pellet industry is likely to have in North Carolina and the Cape Fear region. Enviva, a large manufacturer of wood pellets, recently built a storage facility at the Wilmington port and has plans for two manufacturing plants in the state. The company was seen as such an economic boon by state leaders, potentially investing more than $200 million in North Carolina, that they could qualify for up to $1.7 million in incentives from the state. With us today from Enviva is Morgan Pitts, Manager of Communications and External Affairs. Morgan Pitts, welcome to Coastline.
Thank you very much, Rachel.
Also joining us in studio to help us understand why environmentalists are so opposed to the manufacture of wood pellets is Adam Makin. He is campaign director at the Dogwood Alliance, an environmental advocacy group dedicated to preserving the forests of the Southeast. Adam Makin, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Rachel. Happy to be here.
And joining us by phone from the North Carolina Forest Service is utilization forester Clay Altizer. Clay Altizer, welcome to Coastline.
Thank you, Rachel. Appreciate you letting me be on today.
And we're inviting you to join the conversation. Do you have a question about the wood pellet industry and how it impacts North Carolina, either economically or environmentally? Give us a call at 910-343-1138. You can also send your comments or questions to coastline@whqr.org or tweet us at @CoastlineHQR. Morgan Pitts from Enviva, explain to us first what we're talking about here. These wood pellets, what are they made of and how are they used?
So wood pellets are a renewable energy resource that we do manufacture right here in North Carolina, as you've mentioned, and they're shipped to energy utilities worldwide. And these energy utilities use wood pellets in place of coal. And they do this to meet binding targets for carbon dioxide emissions and get to enjoy a lot of other benefits as well, reductions in pollutants like mercury, arsenic, lead, sulfur, which causes acid rain. So the primary driver is that improved energy profile. As far as the pellets themselves, they're made out of low-grade round wood, wood chips, sawdust, basically the lowest-end residuals from the forestry industry that are left over after higher-value harvests for things like saw timber, for telephone poles, things like that.
Adam Makin of the Dogwood Alliance, part of your group's concern relates to the loss of trees and impending climate change. Isn't climate change exactly what European countries are trying to address by using wood pellets?
That is correct. Under the European policy, their renewable energy policies, when they were enacted, they considered all forms of bioenergy or biomass to be carbon neutral. But really, the science is showing us and is pointing in a very clear direction that nothing could be further from the truth, that when we're burning trees and large diameter wood, including whole trees or very large pieces, residuals, as Morgan mentioned, that's actually increasing carbon emissions over the near term for decades in the future. And if we know anything about adequately addressing climate change and what it means for our communities, especially coastal communities like Wilmington, we know that we don't have that long to wait, that we must be reducing climate change now.
Clay Altizer, with the Forest Service, you authored a report in 2012 that concludes the forest products sector is the largest manufacturing sector in the state and that there are manufacturing facilities in every county in North Carolina. Is that still true in 2015? And how important is the forest products sector to the North Carolina economy now?
Well, Rachel, the forest products industry is approximately a $25 billion contributor to the state's economy and supports about 127,000 jobs across the state. There are not actually manufacturing facilities in every county. There are certainly wood fiber comes from probably every county and is used in some form or fashion at the wood-consuming mills. So those numbers might have changed a little.
Mm-hmm. And Morgan Pitts from Invivo, why are these European countries buying wood pellets from the United States? Why aren't they manufacturing wood pellets in their own countries?
Well, I think it's important to point out that wood pellets are manufactured all over the world, and it is not just the United States that's supplying them. We are an excellent region to supply them because of the long history of sustainable forest management and the robust forest products industry and infrastructure that already exist. But European countries are sourcing them from Canada, from Eastern Europe, and elsewhere as well.
Mm-hmm. We have a tweet. The American Forest Foundation tweeted, one of the biggest threats to family-owned forests is actually development pressures, not over-harvesting. They say forest threats can actually be addressed by markets for sustainably managed wood, providing woodland owners needed financial support. Adam Macon from the Dogwood Alliance, how does your group find that balance between what this means to private landowners economically and preserving forests?
Yeah, development is easily a threat to forests, but you know, smooth-talking industries like Enviva that want to paint the wood pellet industry as an economic boom are really putting forth a false solution, especially in this 21st century economy. As we've seen and it has been proven by reports from the Forest Service itself, the emergence of this industry will actually increase logging and increase conversion of our natural forests to pine plantations. So saying that the best way to protect forests is to log them is really a backwards argument and a red herring and distracting from what's the real issue at hand here, which is that our critical habitats and the services that these forests are providing us are under threat.
Okay, that leads right to I got a very detailed and it's a lengthy email from Dwight Batts, who is a Wilson, North Carolina private forest land owner. And Dwight Batts is also the winner of the 2014 American Forest Foundation National Tree Farmer of the Year. And he thanks us for airing this conversation. And he says, as an unpaid supervisor for North Carolina Soil and Water, a member of the North Carolina Tree Farm Program, and an active member of many other conservation and wildlife organizations, he says, I can appreciate passion and enthusiasm on both sides. Being a North Carolina Century farm owner, my wife and I are glad to see new markets open up for our product. It is the marketplace that makes it possible for us to manage our third-party certified tree farm to the highest possible sustainability standards, not only for the trees, but also for wildlife habitat, water protection, and recreational opportunity. It is also the marketplace that will make it possible the transfer of this farm to members of our family to manage into the future. We are in global competition, but also in a great position to compete successfully if we don't get into our own way. As landowners, we invest in the beginning of a 30 to 75 year forest cycle, get caught in the middle of discussions and rulemaking, and are at the tail end when it comes to financial gain. Come on, help us out, and let's all work together so we can become a global forestry powerhouse. And he says, finally, I would invite both participants to meet on our farm and see just what difficulties and rewards we enjoy daily as we attempt to provide what both of them want. Sincerely, Dwight Batts. And once again, he's a private forest land owner. Adam Macon of the Dogwood Alliance.
Yeah, I would like to make a couple very quick points. Number one is that, we are working desperately to protect the native and natural forests from this emerging industry. We know for a fact that Enviva's facilities in North Carolina are logging primarily hardwoods and are using primarily native hardwood forests for their feedstocks. So pine plantations could be a little different issue here. Also, in terms of a tree farm, when we think about the benefits that forests provide us, Dwight had it right in terms of that they're providing clean waters to millions of Southerners, that they're protecting us from climate change through carbon sequestration, and they're providing habitat. But it's been shown and proven that pine plantations are 90% or more less biodiverse than a natural forest and are often sprayed with chemicals. What we need to be doing is we need to be developing incentives for landowners to keep their forests standing, for landowners to generate revenue off things like carbon sequestration, for valuing the services that those forests provide. That's the future of this economy, not cutting down our trees and burning them.
Morgan Pitts of Enviva.
Well, I think when it comes to determining ways for landowners to develop revenue from ecosystem services, the forest industry in the Southeast has a strong track record already. You know, today there's 50% more forest than there was in 1953. That's largely because of these economic incentives that industries provide. And so to the point that you made earlier, U.S. Forest Service, I don't know if it was the same report or not, but one of the reports by the U.S. Forest Service recently found that actually the influence of the pellet industry will result in greater forest land in the future. And I don't see how that's not a good thing.
Morgan Pitts, is it true that Enviva uses mostly hardwoods for the production of these wood pellets?
At our Mid-Atlantic facilities, yes.
Okay. And Clay Altizer, actually, we're about to go to break in just a moment. But when we come back, I do want to ask you about what that means for sustainably managed forest lands. You're listening to Coastline on 91.3 FM. We're talking about wood pellets today, the implications for both the economy and the environment. With us today to answer your questions are Dogwood Alliance Campaign Director Adam Macon, Enviva Communications Manager Morgan Pitts, and joining us by phone is Clay Altizer, a utilization forest with the State Forest Service. If you have a question, give us a call, 910-343-1138. We'll be back in 90 seconds, and we'll talk with Tim. You're listening to Coastline.